Welcome to Salem First Assembly Podcast. May this week's message by Pastor Brian D. Corkin be a blessing to your life in helping you to grow in your understanding of God's Word, strengthen your faith, and equip you to become all that God has created you to be.
Good morning. Look at your neighbor and say, good morning. This is the last message of Jabez, the prayer of Jabez. And I want you to understand, if you can learn these steps that Jabez teaches us, we can really grow as an individual in our life. I want you to understand something, is that when God wants to use your life, God wants to use your life in such a way, but it first starts with you, and then He works through you. And so as you see this whole incredible story of Jabez, which is nobody really knows him. He's not in the genealogy, but God brings him into the genealogy because of the way he lived his life. And because he lived his life, though other people didn't think highly of him, God did. Look at your neighbor and say, God loves you. And so in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, you have this genealogy of the clans of Judah. And in this process of the 8 verses, 5 generations, 38 names, we see God bringing this man out. And the Spirit of God thought it was important for us to know the man Jabez, even though it wasn't one of the names in the genealogy. He probably was in the line, but he wasn't in the line to be talked about. But because he lived his life in such a way, God said, you know what? I'm going to teach this generation and every generation about a young man who walked honorable before the Lord. So in chapter 1, or I should say in lesson 1, we learned what it is to be honorable. And the question I asked you was, would God see you as honorable right where you are today? Would they say, son, daughter, you are honorable. Your heart is honorable. Now, it didn't say you're perfect, did it? No, because a heart is honorable. That's what God looks at. God looks at the heart. And you know, we looked at his name, Jabez, which means pain, or one who was born in sorrow. Now, understand this, this is important, is that because he had a name, pain, or in sorrow, we talked about in part one that he probably had to deal with his own negative words that he said about himself. And that's the first battle that everybody has to conquer, is the words we speak to ourselves. The second one is the external. Those are the words that people speak to you. Because when people are mad at you, they say things about you. They don't necessarily true, because people who hurt, hurt people. And so they'll say something. So Jabez, no doubt, had to fight over those battles of the words that he spoke to himself and the words other people spoke to him. Because, hey, his name meant pain. Could you imagine, say, here comes this pain. He is a pain in my petushka. So that's what we talked about in part one. In part two, we talked about the first thing he prayed, and he prayed something that most people don't pray. God, would you bless me and bless me a lot? Now, we pray for other people to be blessed, but you know, we don't always pray, Lord, bless me. No, we don't do that. We say, well, that's selfish and that's self-centered, and well, God kind of knows. That's right. All of that is true. But God brought this prayer out for you and our attention. And I don't know about you, but when a person prays a prayer and it gets answered by Almighty God and he brings it in, he wants us to know that he wants us to ask. You have not because you. And he asked, he said, God, bless me and bless me indeed. Bless me a lot, God. Now, you know, when God blesses you, what comes is responsibility and accountability, because as he's praying to be blessed, that also means that there's a lot more going to be on his life. He wanted to be a blessing to be a blessing. And people who just want to be blessed, just to get all they can, put it in the can, then sit on the can, that's not what it's about. Being blessed is about being a blessing to other people, being a blessing to the kingdom. That's what being blessed is. And you can't give what you don't have. So he prayed a prayer, said, God, will you bless me? Bless me a lot. Bless me indeed. Bless me so I am fruitful. And then I want you to understand the second thing he prayed. He prayed, Lord, Will you increase my territory? Will you increase my boundaries? Lord, will you give me more land? Will you give me more animals? Will you give me an increase in my territory? Increase my boundaries. And we talked about how sometimes we get boundaries in our life and we don't want to cross them. We have boundaries that hold us right where we're in. We're afraid to do anything because we're afraid to get outside our comfort zone. But you never grow if you stay in a comfort zone. If you find yourself in a comfort zone, please get out of it. That's when you're going to see God do the greatest work in you, through you, and around you. He was praying, God, increase my territory, increase my boundaries so that I can be a greater influence. Now remember, once again, more territory, that means he has more accountability and more responsibility because he's going to have more people working for him because more animals, more land, more influence. He wanted to be blessed. And how do we know he wanted to be blessed? Well, the third request, it says, God, will your hand be with me? Now think about this. He wanted God's hand in every area of his life. Don't you want the same thing? Don't you want whatever you do? You know, whatever, Psalms 1 says something beautiful about whatever his hand find to do shall prosper. Why? Because he's following in the ways of the Lord. This is so important. We'll talk about that scripture in a second. So he asked for God's hand to be with him. And then we're going to talk about today, he now prays his final request. He now prays that God would keep him from evil, keep him from trial and tribulation, and that he would do no harm as he lives his life. Wow. Now, in the beginning, I challenged you to pray this prayer for 30 days, to really pray it every single day with an anticipation that God is going to do something in you, through you, and around you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. These are powerful prayer to pray. And if it worked for Jabez, could it work for you? Let's go to our text this morning, and let's read it, a familiar text that we have been in. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called to the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, and that your hand would be with me, and you keep me from evil, that I may cause no pain. So God granted him what he requested. I find that last phrase, God granted what he requested. Now you remember, in all of these parts of these messages, I've said, as he's praying for God's blessing, as he's praying for God's hand, as he's praying for God to increase the territory, can I also tell you, he was honorable. This is the thing here. The thing is, there are two types of people in life, just two. People who are really seeking God and wanting God's best. They want God's best. And those that are singing the song, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. You ever know the song? That is Pass's song that I cannot stand. I heard it all my life. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. That's such hogwash to me. It's wrong. It's not biblical. Because God wants to do something in your life. If you want to be passive and not don't want to excel in the things of God, then go right ahead and live that way. But God has so much more for you. He's a big God, a great God, and he wants to do some big things and great things in you. But do you believe him to do that? Or do we just think, well, he can't do it in me. What can I do? No, stop thinking that way. That's the wrong way of thinking. Don't think that God can't do something big in you. I don't know why we think God can do it in someone else, but you can't do it. You're lying. You're allowing the devil to lie to you. I don't have the abilities. I don't have the talents. I can't talk. I can't write. I can't. Well, you won't, because that's what you believe. Because your God says you can do all things because he's your God. He's with you. He give you a favor. He can bless you. He can increase things. He can protect you. He can protect you. Did you imagine that? Even a day that we live today, your God can protect you. But a lot of Christians don't even believe that God can protect you. It doesn't mean that you don't go through rough waters. It doesn't mean that you don't go through trials. It doesn't mean that you don't go through stuff. It does mean his hand and his power is right there with you. You walk not alone. Look at your neighbor, encourage them this morning, and say, you walk not alone. Listen to Psalms 1. Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Watch what he does now. And in his law, he meditates day and night. You see, that's a love affair. If we as God's people could start loving God the way God wants to be loved and not loving the things of this world like we so do, I wonder what would happen in our hearts. I wonder what would happen in our families. I wonder what would happen in our homes and our relatives. I wonder what would happen in our church. I wonder what would happen in our community. I wonder what happened in our city. I wonder what happened in our state. I wonder what happened in our world. If only we could get back to where we need to be when we love God with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our heart. That's what God's asking. And it's all about heart. It's not about being perfect. It's about loving God with all your heart. The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. And it says this, and on his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruits in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does, he shall prosper. That's not talking about your neighbor. I'm talking about you. That's talking about your God working with you to do what you desire to do, to help you so you can shine for him. It's taking kingdom matters and focusing on that. And that's why Jabez was honorable. He was living his life according to kingdom principles. These are key. When we live our lives according to kingdom principles, that is when, and understand it, kingdom principles is when we're thinking about God's work and God's kingdom and God's word and those who are lost and those who need to know Jesus and those who are hurting and those who need help. That's what it's about. Not living for ourselves, not living about what we want and just thinking about that. It's about the other factor. Can't wait to write that chapter one day. The other factor. Wow. The things that Jesus did when he thought about you and I. The battle that we face is that the devil has a strategy. And Jabez is praying, God, will you protect me from evil? Will you protect me from trials and temptations? If you ever ask a military general, what's the first thing you do when you go into war? He will tell you, he will learn about the enemy and he will create a strategy to be able to see where their weakness is and then from there weaken their strength. It is a strategy, and if you ever played a strategy game, you're never going to win if you don't do both offensive and defensive. You know, in football, they have an offensive team and a defensive team. And each one on that team has to do what they're supposed to do. If you have an incredible offense, but your defense stinks, you're going to lose the game. You have to do both well. Strategizing is important. And the devil has a strategy to help you not to grow, or to prevent people from coming to Jesus. And we as God's people need to realize that we fight a spiritual warfare. And we need to rise that up again in our hearts and understand you are in a spiritual fight, a spiritual journey. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage on us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The Satan has devices. He knows exactly where your button is. He knows how to deceive, he has a strategy. Satan himself transforms into an angel of light. You know, there are so many things that people say, oh, that's good, you know, and it looks good, but it's not good. Candy's good, but it's not good for you. You ever go to I like bakeries. I try to stay out of bakeries. I was in a city, well, where I was born, had a bakery right next to my house. So not only every day I would smell the fresh bread, but I knew there was some goodies along with the fresh bread. And so I patronized that bakery and many others around the neighborhood, because there's more than one. And I still love stuff with cream. I like cream. And so I would go there, and if they had something new, I would look at them and say, oh, that looks really good. And I'm already, I'm like, can I have, and I always want to say one, can I have what, three of those? And three of those, and before you know it, I am walking out of the bakery with way too much sweets. So me and bakeries, we get along and we don't get along. So I send other people in and say, get me one, and then they come home with three. So I don't know how that works. It doesn't really work out for me sometimes. But nevertheless, I bought something. It looked so good. I mean, everything looked good. And then I got it and I ate it. It was terrible. You see, that's a little bit how the enemy works. He makes it look really good. See, when he describes things, he's like an angel of light. Light is good, but light can always be deceptive. You ever see how light looks like something's one thing or it looks like a different color because of the light? The devil has a strategy to try to deceive. All through Scripture, we see the devil has names, and these names are descriptive to who he is. Devil actually means he's a slanderer. We're known as Beelzebub and fathers of lies. He's the god of this age. And listen to this, god of this age. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, the god of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, the image of God. You see what the enemy does, a strategy? He puts blinders on those that don't understand Jesus Christ. He puts scales on their eyes. Do you remember Paul the Apostle? The terrorist of the New Testament church? Paul the Apostle, when he was a terrorist going in and throwing people in prison and having Stephen killed, when he got saved, when he got his healing, his eyes, it says scales fell from his eyes. You see, he was blinded. Ignorantly, he thought he was doing good, but he was doing harm to the church of Christ. And Jesus says to him on the road of Damascus, he says, hey, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you hurting? Why are you doing this? Hey, he didn't know who Jesus was. Who are you? I'm Jesus. That's the one you're persecuting. See, scales fell from his eyes. Listen, saints, be careful that the devil, in his strategy, doesn't put scales on your eyes. That's what he does to unbelievers. But we, if we're not careful, could be deceived by the strategies. And we'll talk more about that. That's what Jabez is praying. God, will you protect me from the evil one? Will you protect me from trials? Will you protect me from temptations? Will you help me? Because the devil is an angel of light. He appears as an angel of light. He's like a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8 says. He's the accuser of the brethren, Romans 12 says. Jesus calls him the prince of devils. Jesus calls him the father of lies, a murderer from the beginning. Paul calls him the prince and power of the air. John the apostle tells us he's the accuser of the brethren, always making accusations. He's known as an adversary, a destroyer, a dragon, an enemy, Lucifer, serpent, son of wickedness, a tempter, an antichrist, Apollyon, beast, a serpent, prince of the power of the air, prince of the world, the wicked one. Oh, there's plenty of names. They go on and on and on, and sometimes they repeat each other. But there's a real devil. There is a real devil who's trying to hurt and harm towards you to prevent you from becoming everything God has for you. That's why he's praying this prayer. Lord, will you protect me against the evil one? Will you protect me against these trials that lead me in possibility to be able to sin against you, Lord? You see, this a plan of the devil, and this is what it is. Two ways. One, for an unbeliever, he is trying to prevent that unbeliever from knowing Jesus Christ. That's what 2 Corinthians 4:4 says. He puts scales upon their eyes so they cannot understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if he fails in that and the person gets saved, the second plan of the devil is so you don't grow. You do not become everything you can become, because what happens is if you can't make an impact on this world, if you don't make an impact on this world, you're not doing anything for the kingdom of God. If you're not doing anything for the kingdom of God, you're not hurting the layer of the enemy. Let me tell you something. Paul the Apostle was doing some work. And when the demons, they knew who he was. The sons of Sceva, they didn't know who they were. But they knew Paul. Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. But who are you? You see, let me tell you something. We should be known. It's a good thing. How about Job? God's so proud of Job. Have you seen my servant Job? One who's faithful and true, you know? You know, it's a beautiful thing, believe it or not. I know it sounds crazy when the devil knows your name. Because that means you're doing something that's trying to break down the layers of deception and hurt and harm that the devil so wants to do upon people. He whom the Son sets free, it's free indeed. God is a good, great God. Let me share something with you. How many have ever read the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis? Anybody? Yeah. Let me give you a couple quotes. This is two demons having conversations about how to deceive mankind. And we have the mentor and you have the apprentice. And so he's trying to help the person deceive and prevent people from knowing Christ and this whole drama that's going on in the demonic world. These are some of the quotes, and if you haven't read the book, I so encourage you to read it. You'll see things from a different perspective. C.S. Lewis is an amazing writer, believer, and was used of God in a very special way. He was a man really before his time. How many remember Pilgrim's Progress? John, there's all these wonderful books that you really should read. Old, but message is great. Listen to what it says. This is one quote. All extremes except extreme devotion to the enemy are to be encouraged. Whenever the demons are referring to God, they call God the enemy. Just like you and I would call the devil the enemy. Well, when the demons refer to God, they refer to God as the enemy. And this is what they say again. All extremes except the extreme devotion to the enemy are to be encouraged. You can be extreme about anything you want, but don't be extreme about God. You can be extreme about this and extreme about this, but you know what? If you're extreme about God, you're a fanatic. You're a little weird. You know, we live in a world that's okay to put pizza on our head and draw all kind of things on our body, put numbers at football games, have 5 below 0 and have no shirt on and be painted all different colors. And oh, that's cool because he's a radical fan. You start talking about Jesus all the time and his love, his mercy, his grace and stuff, and you're a fanatic. The things we love are the things we talk about. So my question is, what do you love? Because if you haven't been talking about Jesus very much, maybe you don't really love him as much as you think you do, because what you love, you talk about. And if you're not talking about God, if God's not on your lips, probably not much on your heart. Just a thought. Let me share another one with you. Another quote. It's funny how mortals always picture us putting things into their minds. In reality, our best work is done by keeping things out. I want you to understand that. That's exactly what the demons and the lair of the spirituality of Satan's lair try to prevent you from getting understanding. We always think blame the devil, but they're also trying to prevent you from learning. Oh, I would go to church today, but I got a little bellyache. Well, you know, I don't really need to go to church. I can have church right here in my own home. I love Christians who believe they don't believe have to come to church. God created the church. He's the one that created this whole thing, but they're spiritual. They don't need church because they don't feel like they need it. Iron sharpens iron. The body is made up of many parts. When the part's not in the body, your body hurts. Yeah, but I could just stay home. You may get to heaven, but you're not going to reach your potential when you're not connected to the body. That's a deception of the enemy. That's a person who just doesn't know the scriptures, doesn't know the reality. They want convenient religion or relationship with God. Convenient. That's not the way God has it. But we like convenient. We like to do what we want to do. Love God and still do our other stuff. Listen, when you're all in to win. Look at your neighbor and say, are you in it to win it? Let me read you another quote from this book. There is nothing like suspense and anxiety for barricading the human mind against the enemy, God. God wants men to be concerned with what they do. Get that? God wants men and women, all of us, to be concerned by what we do. Listen to this, though. This is the demons. This is what the demon said. Our business is to keep them thinking about what will happen to them if they do it. We're always fearful. Well, I want to do it, but, or I'm afraid of, but. Oh, that drives me crazy. Live by faith. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life, and life more abundantly. How many want more abundant life? How many want life so much that your liver quivers? You know what I mean? How much? Well, all of a sudden, God, you know? I mean, that's the type of life God wants to give you, but, well, God, I'll just have an olive. Thank you so much. I mean, that's not what it's about. There's so much of God. You see? But we forget this. So it's our choice to obey the instructions. And let me share something with you. Jabez is praying, keep me from the evil one and help me do no wrong, create no pain, do no pain. Can I tell you? Jesus, what he did on the cross, provided that very thing for us. That he has given us power over the evil one, and he has given us the ability to live our life so we don't hurt another person. We do not cause no pain to the kingdom or pain to other people. I want you to get this. So what's the first thing we could do to have a spiritual life, to fight against spiritual battles? We pray. That's right, Pastor. We pray. Prayer power. Pray until something happens. We push. Yeah, okay. We're going to have a prayer meeting. Oh, can't go. Got football game that day. Oh, can't go. It's amazing how Christians love to get themselves out of prayer meetings. Matter of fact, I don't want to offend you or nothing. Don't want to cause any pain. But if you don't like coming to prayer meetings, there's a problem with your relationship with God because you think, well, I don't need to be there. I don't really need to pray. Well, that's the problem. That's why we're in the trouble that we're in as a nation and as a body of Christ, because people are not praying. They're not putting God first on the calendar, first on their heart, first in their day. We pray privately, then we pray publicly, because that's when God does his best work. When two or more are gathered together, what does he say? There I am in the midst. What does that mean? There's people being unified in prayer. Do you know there's more power with more people when pray? Did you know that? There's more power when more people pray. That's right. Oh, sure, God will answer your individual prayer, but you start praying with people coming together and you're in one accord. Let me tell you, Scripture shows you the power of prayer when people pray. So that's the first thing. However, prayer is not used like it should be used. The statistics are sad. Let me just share one statistic, and this comes from 1914. That's really, I should have gone back there and saw the difference between 1914 and 2014. Maybe I'll do that and just do it. How did people pray in 1914 versus how do we pray today? What are the statistics? Let me give you 2014. This is done by Pew Research, because this is important to understand our spiritual battle. 55% of believers pray daily, while 21% say they pray maybe every other week or monthly. And then 23% said seldom or never do they pray. These are believers. So half of the believers in 2014 were people who prayed every day. I tend to think today if we were to do that, I think the numbers would be much lower. You know when people pray? When they have a problem. People pray big time when they have a problem. But when everything's going good, they don't necessarily pray. And pray, what is prayer? Prayer is just talking to God right from your heart. Prayer is not repeating a bunch of words over and over and over again. Prayer is talking to God. And then, watch this, waiting for God to speak back. That's what they call reciprocating prayer, where you're not just saying what's on your heart, but you're also listening to what God's says is on his heart. Now, let me share something with you that I think is going to rattle your cage a little bit. The Lord taught the Lord's Prayer to his disciples, and part of it says this: lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, do you know God does not lead you into temptation? That translation, according to the original, should say, lead us not into trials, prevent us from going to trials, and deliver us from evil. You see, God does not tempt. James is very clear about that. God does not tempt us with anything. James tells us we're tempted by our own desires and our own wants. I want you to understand that this is very important, because Jabez knew the importance of asking God for help so that the evil one and the tricks and the strategies and the trials that come our way, that we are aware of that, so we do not travel down a road to cause pain. Let me share a little bit with you. What does God teach us? God teaches to go to Him in prayer. And God's asking us to be wise in praying on a daily basis, to have a relationship. But sometimes we have problems and we don't go to God in prayer. We have a situation, but we don't try to do anything. We try to do it within our own selves, our own beings, our own flesh, our own talents, our own abilities. And whenever we do that, we will shoot ourselves in the foot when we try to fix the problem without inviting God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Bring Him into the situation, and He will direct your path. That's a promise you can bank on. Let me take you to the book of Ephesians. Let's look at what Jesus did. As Jabez is praying to protect from the evil one, he's really saying, protect me from the trials and the temptations that come his way. Look what it says. Look what the Word of God says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Let's stop right for a second and let's look at this. Because through the cross and through what Jesus has done, He has given us power over the enemy. Someone say, praise the Lord. But the problem is, we need to do Ephesians chapter 6. It can't be just cognitive. It has to be applied. Because application to the knowledge in which you know brings the fruits that make you grow. Amen? That's good to write down. That was really good. All right, first of all, be strong in yourself. No. Be strong in your abilities. No. Be strong in, because you're smarter than a fifth grader. No. Be strong in the Lord, in His mighty power. So that right there is humility. That is someone who's going to find themselves strong and find themselves humbled before the Lord and His power, saying, I can't, Lord, but you know what, Lord? I know You can. Someone say, I know the Lord can. Good. Oh, my. This is refreshing to say, you know what, God? I can't do this. I've said this so many times, I can't even tell you. I can't even count how many times in life I've said, God, I cannot do this. I need Your help. You know what? God shows up. God has been faithful. Then it says this, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So we understand the devil has schemes. He has a strategy. He has his plan. But God has empowered you. Someone say, empowered you.
I should say, empower me. Go ahead, empower me. You can look at your neighbor and say, empower you. But He's empowered me. He's empowered you and me to be able to stand against the schemes, the strategies, and the devices of the enemy. Now, I want you to understand that. God empowered us. Jabez is praying, oh God, protect me from the evil one. But what Jesus Christ has done, He has empowered you by the Spirit of the living God. And now He's given you instructions on how to stand up against the strategies of the enemy. Problem is, we need to stand up. Not sit down and say, well, I don't know. No. You need to start applying. The problem is we have problems in our life because we fail to apply the Word of God. And we like to blame everybody else. Stop playing the blame game. Man. No, write this one down. The blame game is lame.
And who blames is lame. Write that down. Put that on your wall.
Oh, I'm amazed at some things that come out.
Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers, it's against authority and powers in this dark world, spiritual forces of evil.
I'm going to tell you something, saints. We need to realize that we are fighting it now more than we've ever have seen it before. It is so plain. It is so there. Your God's bigger than what you face. Your God's bigger than coronavirus, bigger than flus, bigger than heart attacks, bigger than cancer, bigger than all that stuff there. You know what? It amazes me, and I tell people all the time, that God actually has the ultimate say, no matter what, for those in Christ, God heals them no matter what. We all want to live here as long as possible, but let me tell you something. I've been through a few nights, dark nights, and I've got to see that God does heal. He may not always heal the way we like it to do, but he heals. Because the person who suffers for cancer or something like this, and then all of a sudden gets to close their eyes here, opens their eyes, is something boy, they wouldn't come back for. The best is yet to come. That's why we have to live it now and shout it and stand firm with the armor of God and make a difference. That's what Jabez is saying. God, I really want you to protect me from all these trials. I don't want to find myself in the temptation of sin. I need you to protect me because I don't want to cause any pain. Pain to God, pain to others. We'll get there. Because I want you to get this. It tells us right here that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but yet I see people fighting against people just because they don't agree with them. Get over it. People are not going to agree with you. Love them anyhow. That's what Jesus did. He loved them anyhow. Do you know what? He even loved the centurion soldiers that beat him. Do you know that he even loved those Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes that put him on the cross and hated him? How do I know that? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And not every religious leader back there was bad. We look at Nicodemus and Joseph. There are many of those individuals that did hear what Jesus had to say. There are always foxes in the midst, but God will always be God in the day because he is who he said he is, and he will do what he said he would do. We are a blessed people. We are a blessed people, and the best is yet to come. God is always working, not just in the present, but working in the future. But we need to stand up. We need to put on the armor of God, and we need to stop complaining and stop, woe is me. Because Jabez was really taking this to prayer and believe in God to do some great work. Watch this now. I want you to get this. Because Jabez is praying for God, God's power, and God's provision to protect him against every strategy that the evil one would come his way. Look what happens now in what Jesus shares with us in his word in the same book, Ephesians chapter 6. And I have four there on the screen, and apologize, but this is Ephesians chapter 6, not chapter 4. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints. What a command. Think of this. Here's Jabez praying again, don't get me into trials, Lord. Protect me for these trials and these temptations, God. Keep me away from the evil one.
Here in the Word of God, it teaches how we can fight against the evil tactics and strategies that the enemy brings our way. But you have to put it on. It says, put on the garment. You know, today, I put my own clothes on. Can you believe that? You got to do the same thing in the spiritual realm. You need to put on the warfare, battle equipment. When Paul the Apostle was in prison, he was looking at a Roman soldier fitted for battle. And when he saw this soldier, all with all of the stuff he had on, ready for battle, he looked in it to the spiritual realm. And this is where we get the comparison from. They are different, but they're all connected. And I'll share you real quickly what I mean by that. It says here, so when the day of evil comes, not if it comes, but it says when it comes. So we already know that the day of evil is going to come, period. Not an if, it's a when, okay? And then it says stand. Well, when am I going to stand? You're standing on the Word of God. You're standing with God. Now sometimes it's going to be hard. You got to know what you believe. Your belief has to go beyond your circumstance. Because your belief will always be seen in your behavior. So how are you going to behave when the storms comes your way? It says this. After you've done everything you can do, you know, it says stand. Stand in the power of God. Stand, stand, stand. Look what it says. Stand putting your belt of truth around your waist. Why? This is really interesting. Because in the scripture, the belt is mentioned first. When a military man or a Roman soldier would dress up, his belt would come on last. Why? Because the belt holds all his armor in place. It holds his breastplate. It holds everything tight so it's secure. So there, it doesn't leave any room for a sword. Everything's all held in by tight. Truth is the very essence, though, for us. Because truth holds everything tight. What we believe affects everything we do. So we put on the belt of truth. Because the belt of truth is what God has told us. What we know. What is right. Breastplate of righteousness is a breastplate that guards the most important stuff in the chest, the lungs, the heart. But for us, it helps us, it guards our heart so that we may not sin against God. It's the most precious part. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. That's what the breastplate of righteousness, we have taken on the righteousness of Christ, and it has changed our heart. And when we live and have our being, we walk in God's righteousness, knowing he has changed our hearts. On the inside, he has protected us. It's amazing. Shoes fitted for the gospel. You know, the Romans centurions, their shoes were specially made because when they were on rough terrain, they didn't want like sandals. They weren't like sandals. They had little tiny spikes that came out. They gave them, they were probably the first cleats in some sense. They had a little bit so that when they were fighting, they had a firm stance. Don't forget, very rocky. And so they had these special shoes that gave them some grip. I want you to understand something. Our shoes that cause us to travel. And when we have shoes on, we go further, don't we? Except some of you nature boys and girls out there who just love them to never have shoes on. That used to be me when I was younger, too. But then I got older, and I don't know what happened. I got wimpish. But shoes prepare you and cause you to be able to stand. We stand in Christ Jesus. We stand in his truth. We stand in his way. And that the gospel protects us on our journey as shoes protect our feet. The shield of faith, extinguishing the enemy's arrows. Wait a minute. That means when you go into war, the enemy is just not going to do nothing. He's going to fly some arrows at you. You gotta realize that. He's going to fly some arrows at you. This is important for you to know. A lot of times people don't want to do that, but he's going to fly some arrows at you. And you know what? You have a shield of faith. We walk by faith, not by... And then the last, of course, the word of God, a sword, the word of God, God's word. God's word give you, it's a lamp unto our feet. And then it says, praying in the spirit on occasions, praying all kind of prayer requests, be alert and always praying for the saints. This is a command, saints, to do so. I don't know about you, but you need to recognize that God wants to do a work in you and through you and around you. Psalms 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation. He is my high tower. Can I just remind you of something? David was a giant slayer, wasn't he? Huh? Didn't he slay a giant? And he went up to that giant and his whole heart was in the Lord, right? Today, you're going to go down, the fowls of the earth, the birds are going to eat it today. The Lord's victory is going to be done. And he comes with this great day. And David becomes a giant slayer. Now, watch what happens now. This is important. Because we know that God can take care of any problem we have. But the giant slayer is now slayed by a giant called lust. And then he falls into sin by first seeing the woman. And then after he sees her, he wants her. Then after he wants with her, he then does this cycle. Listen to what happens here. Because this is what happens to all of us. One sin leads to lying. Lying to conniving. From conniving to murder. From murder to lying to cover up. And from covering up, misery and hurt. Why did that happen? How did this individual in Scripture that says, David, a man after God's own heart. How can one moment he be a giant slayer and the next minute a giant slaying him? It's very simple. And all of us know the answer to this. David's heart got away from God. He no longer was running to God. He started to rely and relax on his own talents, his own ways and all stuff. And what he wants, he's king. And when comes king, comes power. And sometimes we can get a little loose. And no matter where you are, we can all get cocky. You know what I mean, cocky? You know what cocky is? You know, cocky things are all that in a bag of chips. Let me tell you something. We need to learn. Jabez says, Lord, keep me from these trials that the enemy sets up. Because then his second part, that I cause no pain. When's the last time you prayed, God, will you help me to cause no pain? No pain to you and no pain to those around me. I was thinking about that. And you know what? When you make decisions, sometimes you cause pain. Or people see it as pain. I want you to know pain comes in many different ways. But one thing, when you ever experience pain, can you do something? Understand that if you don't deal with your pain will become a personal problem. And that personal problem to your own life will cause your relationship with God to suffer. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Just because you do not understand does not mean that God's not working out all things well. So let me give you and close with this, talking about pain. Is that our prayer that we cause no pain. And I'm going to give you a couple things here that you cause no pain. First, we can bring pain to others by the words we speak. One of the worst things in the world is when people speak words ill about somebody. They don't tell the person, but they speak ill will towards other people. They gossip. They don't deal with the problem. No, they rather gossip. That's the worst way of hurting yourself spiritually, is gossiping. How we speak. Sticks and bones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Lie. Can you remember words that were spoken to you as a young lad, young person? Someone says something to you, you remember their words. I can go back and remember words that people spoke to me when I was younger. Words can go deep into the soul if and stay there if they're not healed by Jesus. So we can hurt people by the words we speak. But God tells us to let our words be encouraging. Let our words be lifted up. The Bible tells us and encourages us to be careful to tame the tongue because it's untamable. Bridle it. Learn to control it. Watch what you say from your lips because your lips do sink ships. Sometimes we're so loose with our lips and we cause problems. We say too much. Listen, do no harm. Watch the words from your lips. You know, you ever know the saying? This has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but I think it's kind of funny, so I'm going to tell you. You know when you eat something that's not good for you, it's over the lips, forever on the hips? That's only when you eat something. But if it comes out of your lips and it's not going to encourage someone, it's not going to build them up, it's not going to do anything good, then keep it behind the lips. I'll tell you what, a way to live by. This is what I try to live by. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful and building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So the bottom line, and this is how I try to live, that if my words are not going to help you in some ways, now the words may be corrective at times, and I don't apologize for that because that's how you learn and grow, because I need it as well. We all need that. But if my words is to grow you, not to hurt you, then you should take them as words to help you. Because when someone is saying words and they're trying to help you, they're not trying to hurt you. That's how we grow. That's how we become better. So the Bible says, tells us, don't let any unwholesome words come out of your mouth, but only which is good and edifying for the hearer. So if you're not picking someone up, whether corrective or just encouraging, then don't say it. Remember, he who lives in glass houses should not throw stones. We'll leave that one alone. Number two, how to not to cause pain. Jabez saying, I don't want to cause pain. Don't want to cause pain in the heavenly realm. Don't want to cause pain on the earthly realm, God. I don't want to sin against you. Keep me from the evil one. Keep me from the strategies and temptation and trials. Help me so I don't cause pain. A second way that we can do to not cause pain is we can bring pain to people is through our actions. Our actions. Do unto others as we would have them do unto you is the golden rule in the Old Testament. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you. Jesus taught us, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them of their sins, your Father will not forgive you. So when someone hurts you, you have to forgive them. So your actions speak louder than your words. So not only do we have to watch what we're saying, then our actions need to be followed up by our sayings. If we say, I love you, love is seen by an action, not by words. Don't say something with your words without actions, because actions will always speak louder than words. If it works this way horizontally, it definitely works vertically. Someone say amen. Paul the Apostle, this is one of my favorite verses, by the way. This is one of my life verses I'm going to share with you this morning. Paul the Apostle taught us this. Philippians 2:3-4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in lowness of mind, let each of us esteem others better than ourselves. Let each of you not only look on your own interest, but the interest of others. Live your life with the other factor in mind. That's one way people can see your actions. I was thinking about an illustration that actions speak louder than words, and the actions made a difference. And I thought about in John 8 when Jesus is brought a woman that had just been caught in adultery. And they said, okay, Jesus, what are you going to do with her? And Jesus all of a sudden wrote down and started writing. Nobody really knows what he wrote on the sand. But after a while, he wrote, and then he said, he who has no sin, cast the first stone. And from the older to the younger, they all dropped their weapons, and they left. Jesus looked at the woman and said, where are your accusers? And the woman said, there are none. And then he said these words that were incredible. By his love and his action and provision of forgiveness, he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Think about that. His words and his actions showed the love and forgiveness of a person. Now, I know, and you know, if you read the story, they're trying to catch Jesus, to try to, you know, connive and try to prove a point. But the old wise one knew exactly how to answer it. Because, see, we're so quick to cast a stone towards someone else. But we have to be careful not to cast stones at other people. Be careful in what you say. Be careful of what you do. Let me share two more with you that you need to be careful with. Three, way we can bring pain is through our inaction. Wait a minute, inaction. Yeah, that's when you don't do what you're supposed to do. You say, you know what, I'm not going to do it, Lord. Can you imagine if we took John 8, the religious leaders bring this woman who's just been caught in the very act of adultery, and Jesus says nothing. Nothing. Says nothing to the leaders, nothing to the woman, just says nothing. What would have happened? Most likely, they would have stoned her. Inaction has the same results of a bad action. Just because you say, well, I didn't do nothing. Well, if you're not doing anything good, you're not doing anything right. So just because you say, well, I didn't do anything, you know, it's like everybody does stuff. Well, I didn't do it. I didn't do nothing. It could have been a problem right there by doing nothing. Nothing is never the answer of doing something. And so inaction can just be another way of causing pain because, you know what, we don't speak up for what is truth. So many times pulpits and pastors have not spoke up for the unborn like we should. That is murder. That is wrong. It doesn't make a difference when man makes laws. It's man-made laws. You kill somebody that's pregnant and you get double homicide. But it's okay if you do it in a room. That's not right. That's double standard. That heartbeat is beaten after 6 weeks. It's a... That's a beating, that's life. Whenever you have a heartbeat, we all know that's life. But see, we always want to make laws. We need to speak up and say, no, that's wrong. It's wrong. God calls it sin, but praise the Lord, God gives forgiveness for sin. I had a chance to do services for many young ladies who had abortions, and many of them had regret because they had abortions, and we did a service, and gave each child a name and just was beautiful. And they received healing because God wants to heal. That's what I love about the gospel of Jesus Christ is the message of redemption. So church, yes, call it sin, but also let the grace and mercy of God also come from your life to tell the people that God forgives because he lives. And you can face your tomorrow. Our last one that you cause pain, what you can do. We can also bring pain through our reaction. How many can know that? How many ever reacted way over and you reacted over the top and caused more problems? Anybody ever done that? Yeah, I have. You know, all of a sudden, man, I come out like a bull in a china shop, boy. And not only did I just break one knickknack, I broke the whole shelf. Then everybody looking at me, and I was innocent in the beginning, but not at the end. I came in and my reaction was too quick, too strong, too much. But sometimes that happens. Our reaction can cause pain. Jesus reacted with love, always reacted with love. He never overreacted when an individual came his way. How did he handle Peter? Peter had some flops along the line, but you know what? When Peter denied the Lord three times, how did Jesus react? When he first saw Jesus, did he just rebuke him? You know, Peter, I can't believe it. I spent 3.5 years with you. Hard years, Peter. And you deny me? You said you would die for me. You liar. Did Jesus do that? Did he overreact? No, he didn't, did he? He just goes up to Peter. First time he sees Peter, he says, Peter, you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. Feed my lamb. Peter, you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. You see, Jesus took it as a teachable moment. You can cause pain by overreacting because of someone's sin or because someone's attitude or someone's thing, and you can so react, you can come in like, you know what? I'm done. And you come in there. You do no good. You just do harm because you come in like a bull when God wants you to come in with a heart like he has a heart for you and like how he treats you when you make a mess up. Words of anger or refusal to listen will always close your heart, and you'll become more like a bull than you become like Christ. So we can cause pain in people's lives by overreacting. We can cause pain by our inaction. We can cause pain when we don't have the right action. And we can cause pain by the words we speak. But Jabez is saying, he's having a prayer, God, keep me from these trials that can lead me into sin. And help me not to cause any pain. That's a good prayer to pray. That's a good prayer that all of us can pray, because who wants to bring hurt and harm? That's not what we want to do. We want to bring help and hope. That's what this sign's all about. Hope. It's a beautiful word. You know, it's hope that God gives. It's hope that we should totally give unto the Lord. Let's read this one more time. Let me read Jabez, the prayer of Jabez, one more time. And as we do this, I want you to close your eyes and just listen. Let it get into your heart as we close this time out, close this series out. And may it get into your heart that you start praying this on a daily basis, that the God that you serve would start to do such an amazing thing in you and through you. Now Jabez, you can put your name in there, was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called to the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. May your right hand be with me. May you keep me from the evil one and all the trials and the temptations. And Lord, may you keep me from causing pain with anyone around me, Lord, and cause pain to your kingdom. And God, I pray that I would be the vessel that you would want me to be as I constantly ask you for these things. Help me to be the best light that I can be, and the best salt that I can be in such a day as today. That would be the prayer to pray. That would be the prayer to pray. Turn it into your own prayer. Just include these things in the prayer. And start off, God, I so want to be honorable before you. I so want to be pleasing before your name. Though there are many who do not give you any time of the day, my life, for my life, I shall serve you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my being. I don't know where you are today, and those watching by the internet, I don't know where you are today, but Jesus Christ so loved you that he stretched out his arms and died. I don't know where you are all here today, but it's not just about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a relationship with God. And that relationship is only going to be as good as the amount of time you spend with him. Those by internet, I want to encourage you, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, and you don't even know much about him, I want to encourage you to start reading the scriptures. Get in the book of John. Open the Bible. If you want to know the author, you have to read his book. It will transform your life. Some books inform, other books reform, but only the Word of God will transform you from the inside. And just ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to come into your heart. Yield your life to him, and he will take you on a journey because he died for you. He loved you, and on the third day, he rose again. He defeated sin, the grave, and he brought victory. you're here today and Jesus is not your Savior, or you know, I want you to get a new love for the Lord. Paul the Apostle prayed, Lord, may our love for you abound more and more. My heart for you, for each of you today, is that your love for God will go to the next level. That you would desire more and more of God than you have right now. That God will help you and grow you, and you find yourself in the Word of God. Let me pray for you. Father, we are so grateful for who you are, and thank you that by praying, you will change our lives. Communication with you. Father, thank you for the access to come boldly before the throne of grace. Will you draw our hearts close to you? May we be all in relationship. And God, I pray that hearts would be turned to you as they yield themselves and turn from their sin and turn to the Savior of their soul, Jesus Christ. The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. God, we give you praise and we give you glory. Change our hearts. Heal our bodies. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Well, we thank you for joining us today. Let's continue to believe that God is going to do a work in all of our lives and in His church, despite our current circumstances. If you would like to support the ministry of Salem First Assembly, you can do so by mailing to 430 Route 45, Salem, New Jersey, 08079, or by visiting our website at salemfirstag.org. Please join us for service next Sunday at 10:30 a.m., or you can watch service every Sunday afternoon on Facebook at Salem First Assembly or YouTube at Salem First AG. You can also listen to the message every Tuesday on Podbean. Have a blessed rest of your day. Let's remember to be a blessing, and that life is living in faith every day.